December. Lowell, Montreal, Quebec.
Montreal is huge and awesome. The metro trains? How they rumble? The cathedral bells. Different languages drifting through the air. The place is so alive. So many people. Feelings and people. I'm heading over to Jane's place tonight. This will be my second time seeing her since I got here. We got together for a quick coffee a few days ago, but she was busy trying to wrap up her sessional course things, whatever they're called, and was doing some work for some of the professors, like marking papers and stuff. But now the classes at McGill are done, we get to hang out. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm happy. I need to figure out a gift or something for her. I don't know. What do girls even like? I don't want it to be weird. Now, maybe I shouldn't get a gift. Maybe I should just show up. Food. I'll get her food, because that's what a wolf would do if she was part of his pack.
Jane, 26, Montreal, Quebec.
This time of night, the streets outside used to be way busier. This whole part of town has never been quiet like this before. Look down. I understand that you're coming here from Nova Scotia, but that is quiet for Montreal. Sorry, where was I? Okay, right. So, the Fermi Paradox. The Fermi Paradox is a problem posed by Italian physicist Enrico Fermi that scientists have been struggling to explain ever since the 1950s. The problem is framed as thus. When a person walks outside at night and looks up at the sky, they will see thousands of stars. But every star a person can see in the night sky, those are just the nearby stars. We can only see a little bit of the universe from Earth. And it is estimated that there are probably somewhere in between 100 to 400 billion stars in our galaxy. That's 100 to 400 billion stars in our galaxy alone. Each one potentially the center of its own potential solar system. And for every one of those stars, there could exist another entire galaxy outside of our own. Pay attention, Lowell. It's going to be on the exam. Here's an idea of the scale we're talking about. For every grain of sand on planet Earth, there exists over more than 10,000 stars out there. And because the universe is so big and there's so many stars out there, the odds of there being stars like our own sun, with planets like ours orbiting them, with all the necessary conditions for life, temperatures, chemical deposits, and atmospheric requirements, is extremely high. Even if a person was super conservative with their calculations of the odds against it, there should still be at least 100 billion planets out there in the universe right now that are really close to being Earth-like enough with the correct ingredients required for life on them. Now, let's say out of all those planets, and let's be conservative again, let's estimate that out of all those planets, only 1% of them actually develop life. And out of that 1%, let's be even more conservative and say that only 1% of that 1% develops life that is actually allowed to advance to a level of sentience comparable to ours. What the Fermi Paradox is saying is that even if the odds are completely stacked against life in the universe, there should still remain at least 100 habitable planets with intelligent life like ours for every single grain of sand on planet Earth. And so, if there is that much potential for life in our universe, where is everybody? Even if we are being conservative, adding up all the factors out there, given the information we have, where is everyone? You might be thinking, maybe there is intelligent life out there, they just aren't technologically advanced enough to reach us yet. But think about this. The Earth, our sun, they're young when compared to many of the other stars and habitable planets out there. Some of them are billions of years older. If any of them had intelligent life out there and have survived billions of years, then It stands to reason that there should be a few of them, potentially thousands at the very least, in our galaxy alone, that would have had the time to colonize the Milky Way before now. So, why haven't we picked up signals from any of them? Conspiracy theorists say that the government has been hiding the evidence of other life from us for years. But given the math, there should be so much evidence of life elsewhere that I don't think the government could hide it all if they wanted to. And so, we have this paradox. If the math suggests that there should be all this intelligent life out there, where is it all? Which brings us to the Great Filter. The idea of the Great Filter suggests that there is this wall that all intelligent life hits at some point or another, and nothing can get by it. Except by some kind of fluke, or miracle, or something. Which may be why we haven't seen other life forms out there yet. Everything out there keeps running into this wall. It's the idea that a species will develop so far and then hit this wall that just stops all life in its tracks. And if this Great Filter thing exists, and if it's real, it means one of three things. It means us, humans, all of humanity, we're either rare, first, or we're doomed. If we're rare, it means the filter is behind us. There's hardly anyone out there in the cosmos because hardly anyone makes it as far as we have. Because sometime long ago on Earth, the Great Filter happened, and we managed to survive it. And there might be hope that we can just keep developing and growing as a species until we colonize the whole universe and so on. If we're first, it means that we haven't run into other life forms simply because we're the first species to make it this far. Maybe there isn't even a Great Filter at all for us. We're just that lucky. We're just first. And then there's the other possibility. We could all be doomed. The Great Filter might not have happened yet. Maybe it's still ahead of us and we're doomed. We haven't run into extraterrestrial life yet because there isn't any, because all life before us in the galaxy has hit this filter and it's only a matter of time before we do too. Okay, I need a refill. Drink break! Just one sec. Yeah. Okay. Where was I? There could be all sorts of other possibilities, too, why we haven't encountered life. But the Great Filter idea is the one that always creeps me out. How there might be some kind of force or event or thing that is just silencing life. Which is why all this stuff going on right now here in Montreal, and those reports on the news yesterday about that all of a sudden ghost town up in Iqaluit, I don't know. Did I mention we were down to 30 students in one of my classes? By the end of November. That was after starting with 80 in the fall. 30 kids wrote the final exam. How does that even happen? How does any of this happen? The streets around here are quiet now. I mean, every once in a while you see a crowd, but it's not like before. I have my bags packed, lol. Just in case. I don't want to leave the city, but I've got my shit packed just in case I have to. In case I have to run. Like, run. Do you understand? I keep getting this strange feeling. Every once in a while, I'll be walking down the street and things will get real quiet suddenly, and my skin will just crawl. Okay. Look, we're not doing this interview anymore, okay? You can talk now. I mean, I explained the paradox, so now we can drop this, right? What are you doing? That's my leg. What do you want to do right now? When I got your email last month, so random. There have been a bunch of times since Halifax where I wondered, or I thought about, I guess, if we had, back in Halifax, what if I tried? What if we had? You didn't know what to do with me in Halifax. You seem different now. More lean or something. Hungry. I like your hand there. It feels nice. Turn it off first, Lowell. The recorder.
Fortune of Wolves was written by Ryan Griffith. The series was produced by Big Noise Audio Collective and presented by Theatre New Brunswick. The show was directed by Ryan Griffith with help from Jillian Hansen. Recording, editing, and sound design by Matt Carter. Music for the series was created by Counting On Downstairs, with additional scoring by Matt Carter. To learn more about the series and the artists involved, visit tnb.nb.ca or look for the Big Noise Audio Collective on Facebook. This episode featured Kat Hall as the Chief Archivist, Jason McIntyre as Lowell, and Naomi McGowan as Jane. Next time on Fortune of Wolves.
Floor 12 is so goddamn spooky.
People must understand. Nowhere is safe.
I want you to come back out and be with me.
Bagels and squeaky cheese and pickles and smoked meat sandwiches and baklava.
A lot of action for a Tuesday night, eh?
And then last night, someone went missing.
This is how it's gonna be, huh? This is us?
We're not so bad off here. I mean, I know things look bleak, but at least we're looking out for each other here.